Hi everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn podcast. This week we're talking about the sacred pause and how it can help you to adapt to change or obstacles that might be showing up for you in your life. I hope you enjoy the podcast and let's get straight into it.
Hey Laura, how you going?
I'm very good. Just finished a session over at the gym this morning, so that's kind of blown the cobwebs out.
Very nice.
Yeah, looking forward to sitting down, having a cup of tea, and just having a conversation about what's been going on for us over the last week or so.
Yeah, well, even the last 5 or 6 days.
Huh? Yeah, it's been a pretty intense week for us, and a lot of things have kind of come to a head. And we've had to take a bit of a moment to pause and reset. And I thought it would be good to talk about what we do, or like how can we adapt to change and obstacles that maybe we didn't foresee when they crop up. So yeah, I thought we could just have a bit of a conversation about that.
Yeah, look, change is very, very important. Well, change is inevitable. It's the adaptability to that change that's very important.
Yeah, well, let's just set the scene a little bit for people that are listening in case they haven't listened into our other podcasts. So we are at the moment recording online mixed media art classes. Roughly once a month, we're putting together a class. And this is a fairly new thing for us, and we're working together as well. And there's quite a lot that comes with it. And what we're finding is that we're coming up against challenges every single time. And some of them are technological challenges, some of them to do with filming. So we love filming outdoors, but sometimes we have things like this last week, we had our neighbor getting an enormous tree turned into a pineapple, which is quite bizarre, but anyway.
Manicured.
Manicured into a pineapple, a kind of palm tree, which was really, really loud. So we couldn't film that day. So that was the one day of our schedule just wiped out. And we've had other days where we've had a storm coming through and haven't been able to film very well because the cameras are blowing in the wind. You know, then we had an audio issue where the sound wasn't actually recording. Yeah, then there's just, you add me into the equation, and sometimes I'm just not organized or I veer off in a different direction. That happened a little bit with the current class, which is the idea around it is to be minimalistic. And we started filming it and I started adding in more and more bits and pieces into the class, and it got to the point where I was like, this isn't minimalistic, is it? And I'd veered off course. So we had to actually regroup, didn't we?
The course comprises of 8 individual pieces, and the idea was for you to use 2 colours. And you'd already set your 2 colours that you wanted to use. So it was 4 colours all up. Black, white, brown, and
Payne's Grey. So I was using, for all the arty people out there, I was using Raw Sienna and Payne's Grey, which are 2 kind of earthy sort of colours, as well as black and white, because I wanted to do this kind of more muted palette, more neutral. But I wanted to keep it really simple. But when I was introducing, I wanted to show other options for people in case they didn't want to use the 2 colours that I was using.
So to break it down, each course has an introduction, basically what it is. It's you introducing the course. Mm. But you like to give some various options. So you will say something along the lines of, I'm using Payne's Grey and red or brown, whatever colours you're deciding to use. But you wanted to have a basket of colours that you could then say, but you don't have to use these 2.
Yeah.
You could use this colour or that colour. And the idea was, after the introduction, we were to clear the work area, put everything away, and then come back and continue to film. We left the desk full of all these colours, and they were in the basket minding their own business. You had taken out the colours you wanted to work with, and then all of a sudden, 4 or 5 pieces in, you start pulling out greens and
that's
reds.
I think you're over-exaggerating, but I think people can understand what may have happened here. And, you know, I paint in an intuitive way. So there is an element of planning, and then there's a bit of whatever happens that happens in the moment. And yes, my hand started to reach for the stuff that I wasn't meant to be touching, and we got a bit off track. So we basically had to start over. So, you know, so this class has had a few, just filming challenges. But it's a class that I'm super, super excited about and really proud of the content that we have filmed. So, you know, we've really just had to take stock and remind ourselves of that we've got some really great work in the bag.
Oh, yeah. Look, it's we're talking about change and adapting to change. It's also a question of getting better at coping with the obstacles in your way. We don't change because we want to. People hate change. The only reason we change is because there's an obstacle or an obstruction in our way. Something goes wrong, so we need to change to make it right. And this course is so full of content that the editing process, I don't want to say it's overwhelming, it's just long and arduous. So yeah, trying to piece it all together, I was starting to get flustered. I was calling you and I'm saying, oh, it's not working out, you didn't say this and you haven't done that. So I'm taking out my frustration on you, which then has a bad knock-on effect.
What happened when that went down? So you called me and you said to me a few things, because you had been in the office editing for how many hours?
So I was there, yeah. Full day.
And you rang me and you were tired, you weren't in a very good headspace, and you sort of said things weren't really working that well. Well, you didn't, I kind of overreacted. And then I overreacted and I got a bit stressed out. And I said to you something that I think is really important. Do you remember what I said? We were having a conversation. I said I had to take a pause. I said, look, I'll call you back in a few minutes. I need to take a pause. And it made me think about earlier on in the week, you had told me about this concept of a sacred pause.
Yeah.
And I've never heard of it. I did actually Google it and it is all over the internet, so I'm not actually sure where it's come from, but
the lady I heard it from is a practicing Buddhist. She's been practicing Buddhism for quite a while now. And yeah, she, I think it was not last Thursday, but the Thursday before that.
Yeah.
I'd met this lady and she introduced me to this thing called the sacred pause, and she uses it.
It's such a powerful concept. And I, at the time that was happening, I didn't actually realize that's what I was doing. It was only afterwards on reflection that I went, hey, that was the sacred pause. Because I was getting upset and I said to you, look, I just need to take a minute. I'm going to take a pause. And I knew that I had the potential of reacting badly to the situation, as in, you know, I was going to say something to you that was really unfair. And so I took about 5 to 10 minutes, and I was putting some groceries away at the time. So I just put all the groceries away and I was like, no, everything's fine. Like, it just gave me a chance to regroup and to think about the positives and realize that, okay, the editing was taking longer than we anticipated. Perhaps we're not going to meet our original aim of when we were going to release the class. And then I realized that, well, that's okay. We can adapt. We can change. There's good stuff about this class.
Yeah, it's funny. In the time you took to take your pause, I went back and looked over the stuff that I was editing. In that 5 minutes, I'd realized that we've got something very special here. The reason it's so difficult to edit is because of the amount of content.
Mm.
8 individual pieces comprised of 4 or 5 different techniques. But it wasn't until you forced me to take that pause. And then by the time you rang me back, I had realized that I spoke too soon. I didn't take the sacred pause. I just blurted out what was on my mind.
Yeah.
You haven't done enough, Laura. You're not saying enough. This is too much for me. And then in doing that, I then push all of my stress onto you. But then luckily enough, you decided to say, look, I'm going to hang up now and I'm going to call you back in 5 minutes.
Well, I think that's a great thing about a partnership, isn't it? Like when you're working with someone, you can be the one that takes the pause at the right time and help out the whole relationship, really, by doing that. Like it's sometimes it will be you and sometimes it will be me. So we can help each other out by taking that moment when we need to think about how we're responding to something before we respond. Isn't that the key? It's a slowdown, isn't it?
Well, when you're stressed, the great thing about taking this pause is that it just takes the stress away because you're identifying exactly what's going on. If you don't take the time to step back and take a deep breath, everything is a problem. Everything is like negative. All you do is focus on the negativity. You need to remove yourself from it.
I'm always amazed at our brain's capacity to attach onto the negative in a situation. It came up with when we were talking about the other week about getting feedback. You can have all this brilliant feedback and one person says something about your, you know, what you do, and your brain just attaches to it, to this one thing. It just doesn't have perspective. Yeah, but as you say, we have this ability to catastrophize things. And you know, something in the big scheme of things isn't that significant, but we attach so much importance to it that it can be really derailing. So, you know, things like taking the sacred pause, it offers you an opportunity to see things with more perspective. And when I took that pause the other day when we were just getting stressed out about how much work we had to do, it gave me a chance to realize how much work we'd already done, how good the work was, and that we can adapt in order to accommodate, I guess, the delays that we've had.
So this is our second week of doing podcasts. So you would think that in the course of the 2 weeks before now, or 3 weeks before now, that we'd have been well prepared going into this course.
Yeah, I think what happened was we had the school holidays.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, you know, your attention is, you know, on your kids and doing other things. And then the idea was that we would film straight after that. But I hadn't actually really prepared for the class. And what we hadn't factored in was that I need preparation time as well. And so that kind of put us, you know, back a bit. And then obviously we had other, you know, delays with the actual tech side of things. So what we've come to understand is that in order to offer what we want to offer, which is the intention around the classes is that they are mini classes in the sense there are enough content to keep you going sort of for a period of time, like a month or so, but that there's juiciness in them, you know, that there's it'll sustain you for a while. And what we've realized is that in order to offer, I guess what I'm talking about is the quality that we want to offer in the classes, the quality of the content, the filming, the all of that, that it takes time, and we need about 2 weeks to film the class. So it's filmed in, you know, different days. We need about 2 weeks to edit the class, and we need time to promote the class. And that would be quicker if we didn't have other things on. So while I'm sort of full-time in this, you have other commitments. You are not working full-time on this. And so it takes longer.
Doing full-time hours.
That's probably true, actually. But, you know, you have other things that you work on, not just the Laura Horn art world. And so we've realized that we've been trying to deliver something once a month that really takes us 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And we had this really important discussion about this last night as we were thinking about how we're going to move forwards. And we never actually, you know, we never actually put it out there as being a monthly offering. That was just something that we were working towards as our sort of personal goal with it.
This is the third conversation we've had about this topic in the last week.
Mm.
It all keeps coming back for some reason or another. We start out with the correct intention. How long will the course take? It will take 6 weeks. A week for you to plan. We film, that takes 2 weeks, and then there's the edit, which is 2 weeks. And then you get your promotional stuff, photographs, all that kind of stuff, and then you have a week to promote on the back end. And I'm working to that timeline in my head. And then you get an email or you get a direct message on Instagram. And this is where we're back into the change again.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait for your next course. When's it going to happen? And then 6 weeks stopped being 6 weeks and became the 1st of September. And that moment to say, yeah, okay, we'll push for the 1st of September, as opposed to saying, no, it takes 6 weeks, Laura.
Yeah.
It's this desire to please other people. Yes, I can get it done.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that as we drove back from the gym today, about what's the motivation around trying to offer something monthly. And I said to you, I want to do it for the students and the community that ask me, you know, when's the next class coming out, whatnot. So I feel a little bit of a, I guess, I don't want to say the word pressure, but that's the motivation around, you know, wanting to do it on a monthly basis. You know, I've now recognized that I have to look at the big picture, which is around family, your well-being, our well-being. It's, you know, the full picture around what's going to work for us. And so now I'm realizing what we probably need to adapt to that a little bit. And 6 weeks is more reasonable. So we are changing, I guess, our approach. And that's absolutely okay. And I wanted to have that conversation today about that it's okay to change what it is that you do.
We're creatures of habit. You know, I came from a 9-to-5 job, you know, and now all of a sudden you're doing what you love. It's a massive change.
Mm.
And you just don't fall into doing what you love and then get rich. Like, you take a massive, massive hit financially when you step out of the workplace and you decide to do something that you love. And then all of a sudden, you're doing what you love in 12-hour blocks.
Well, it's funny. Remember, I shared that quote with you the other day, which I saw on Instagram, which was about basically that you'd work for, you know, 20 hours straight to, you know, working for yourself to avoid working 1 hour for someone else.
Yeah, it was the entrepreneur's thing.
Yeah, and it really connected with me because we have been working really hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we want to do what we love and we love what we do. Like we're so keen to not go back to what we were doing, which was, you know, the 9-to-5 and the grind and all the rest. But yeah, we are working super hard to sustain, you know, this change that we want to make in how we live our lives.
We're here on a podcast talking about these massive life-changing changes, leaving your job, you know, having to call the bank and say, look, we're making this change, we need to let you know. You make massive sacrifices on a gamble. Well, it's not really a gamble because you kind of, we've been looking at doing this for a while now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so it was an educated guess.
Yeah.
But that fear of change, bring that back now to art. Having a go. Do you know what I mean? Making a change and having a go.
Yeah. I see this quite a bit where people feel like they're being kind of pigeonholed into something. So maybe they've been doing something for a long time. They have a loyal following. You know, it could be that they do, for example, whimsical work. And I used to do whimsical work and I switched into abstract work. And you can feel a fear about changing because you're going to maybe let people down. And this fear of, I guess, rejection is very, very strong in us. And it can get in the way of us exploring things that may bring us even more joy. And so I really encourage people to go down those avenues and to open themselves up to new possibilities and doing things that maybe they think aren't for them. And even and this is not just in art, but in life too. Like, for example, with me going to the gym and doing this, so I'm doing a boxing kind of personal training session 3 times a week. And it's not something that I thought was very me. And, it has really, it's just been fantastic. I love it. Like, I've never loved exercise, and I absolutely love hitting that bag really hard. So, I think that there are so many things to discover, and change is inevitable and it's necessary. And I really wholeheartedly encourage people to explore new things. And if you are doing something and you're feeling that little whisper of, oh, you know what, I'd really like to do some abstract art, then dip your toe in, give it a go. Do it as a personal side project if you want to. It is okay to change. It is absolutely okay. We are human, and change is good and healthy. And if you do decide to move into a different area, you may lose some people along the way, like, say, for example, on social media and whatnot, but you will also open up to a whole new audience, and you will also inspire people. You will inspire people to be more comfortable with change. And I think if we can become more comfortable with change, we can live a more happy and, fulfilling life.
Absolutely. Like, how many times have you started something new, and after 2 or 3 weeks of doing it, you turn around and you say to yourself, I wish I'd done this earlier. It's like you with this podcast. Mm. I had to drag you to sit down. I think I brought all the equipment, and it sat in the cupboard for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Because you just refused to do it. And now I can't stop you from doing them.
Yeah, that's another thing that surprised me. I think one of the phrases I keep saying at the moment is that life just continues to surprise me. And that's a very exciting thing, when life is continuing to surprise you, because that brings energy into your day-to-day. And the podcast is another thing that really surprised me. I didn't want to do the podcast. I was actually hoping you would forget about it. And you bought the gear, and I was like, oh, I'll just ignore that. Until you really, literally just made me do it, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it. It's an opportunity to reflect and think about what's going on, and I love things like journaling, and the podcast is almost like that. It's just an opportunity to chat about what's happening and remind myself of important lessons that I've learned just in the last week. And I'm learning things all the time.
Fear and change go hand in hand. That's why we don't like change, because we absolutely despise fear. Nobody wants to be afraid. Like, think of the most important changes you make in your life. When you want to finish a relationship, it's very, very, very fearful, even though you're the one finishing it.
Mm.
How many times have you felt nervous going to your boss because you're being offered a better job somewhere else, and you're afraid to go into the office and tell them that you're leaving? So even when change is good, we tend to make it bad for ourselves.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking with that is, if you are doing something, so you might be offering a monthly course, or you might be doing regular workshops that have gained some traction and people are enjoying it, but maybe you're not enjoying it as much anymore. And it can be really, really hard to change, or to stop doing something. Because, again, I was talking about, like, that feeling of letting people down. And it's like what I was saying before. You've got to realize that you need to follow your heart in order to be able to offer your best to people. So if your heart's not in it anymore, over time, those classes that you're doing, they're not going to have the same energy in them. Or if you're running workshops, there's going to be some kind of tiredness, or just you're not going to take the time to prepare them the way that you used to. So things are going to kind of go a bit downhill anyway. So I think it's important to recognize that it's okay to stop something or to rapidly change it, reinvent it, do something completely different. That's okay. And that's something that I think that I want people to take away with them and realize that it's all right to change. And it could be in your personal life. It could be that you've been volunteering on a charity or something like that for 5 years and you feel like you can't stop.
Yeah, people expect so much from you, yet you should be happy enough to say, I'm stopping now.
Yeah.
And allow them to thank you for it.
Exactly. And receive that thanks. Really take the time to recognize what you have done already and give yourself space for the next thing.
So it comes back to that sacred pause, that moment of silence and clarity to decide the right thing to do. Like, I have a massive problem with, I say yes too quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, someone will say, Richie, can you do this? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And then I'll come home to you and I'll say, yeah, I'm helping such and such on Monday. And you'll be like, no, you're looking after the kids on Monday because I'm going to do this. And then I have to make a phone call saying, look, I shouldn't have said yes. I really need to practice this sacred pause. It's something I really need to do. And it can be something as simple as, I will say yes, or I won't say no. I just need to get back to you on that.
Yeah, so you need to practice the pause.
Yeah.
Practice the pause. And that's a real skill to learn, to say that line to people. When people ask you things, that you don't have to actually respond straight away. It's really helpful to actually say, thanks for that offer. I'm going to take a little bit of time to have a look at it. And you're letting people know that you are taking time to look at what they're offering. Like, you're going to look at, you know, whatever it is, you know, they've sent you a website link or something like that. I'm going to take a bit of time so I can really have a look and see if this is a good fit, or, you know, whatever language you might use. And this happened to me recently, actually. Someone contacted me about doing an online class, and I wrote back and said that I was going to take a look at it, and I took a really good look at it. And I went on and I had a look at what it was, and it didn't actually feel like a really good fit for me. And I wrote back and I let them know that. And they actually wrote back to me and said, thank you so much for taking the time to let me know that you looked at it, considered it, and why you didn't feel like perhaps it was quite the right partnership. I appreciate that.
And it's silence, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I thought, yeah. And that was another example of taking a pause to really think about whether that was, and it wasn't just about it being good for me, it was about whether it was good for, you know, for that person as well.
Yeah, because coming back to the courage part of it, I'm always afraid of what people will think of me if I say no, or I let them down, or I can't do something. And even if I have a really valid excuse, I walk away saying, they're going to think I didn't want to do that. So that's something I really, really need to work on.
Yeah, and I think a pause often allows you to act in good grace, you know, gracefully and respectfully when you are, you know, whatever it is that you're communicating, that you can do it with respect to the other person. So, you know, that comes with a pause. So yes, I think out of everything we've talked about in this podcast, the most significant thing that we've noticed and began to put into practice has been this idea of taking more time to pause and reflect and slow down and consider how we respond to things.
Yeah, and I hope the people that are listening, they take our word for it. Have a little bit of a pause. Make sure all your ducks are in a row. And then make the decision you need to make. Because if you don't take that time, You won't hit the record button on your audio. You won't get your you won't get your painting plan in place. You know, it's just the simple things. And in your mind, you think everything is right. So yeah, take those pauses. You know?
I'm hoping you press the button right now.
I haven't stopped looking at that button for the last 40
minutes.
You
scared me when you said that. I was like, are you saying that we're not actually recording? So yes, it take a pause. It's okay to change. And I think, yeah.
So we spoke about the sacred pause. How would you utilize a sacred pause in your artwork?
Oh, I love that question. It's a really good one. And it's something that I've got better at over time. So sometimes when I'm working, and I think people who are in sort of creative practices or have, you know, whether you be a painter or drawer or whatever it is, you know when you're starting to tense up, overthink, and get into that area where you might overwork your work, where you're starting to do things that are almost a bit destructive. And I have ruined many pieces of art by, well, not ruined, but, you know, let's just say I've taken them in a direction that I haven't been happy with at the end of the session, because I have got into a bit of a negative space and worked through it rather than taking a pause. So as far as, you know, in art, I think if you can recognize when you need to take a break when you're creating, you are going to save yourself a lot of stress and keep your energy levels up. So I try, and this is actually even in, you see this in my online classes. Sometimes I'll be teaching and I'll even start to feel that I'm tensing up a little bit, that I'm starting to overthink things, I'm not in flow. And I'll say, look, you know what? I'm going to leave it here, I'm going to have a cup of tea and we'll come back. So that's a pause. And I do that a lot more than I used to. I used to work through it, and now I take more breaks when I'm working. So I find that that's very helpful.
And the second question is, other than going full time, what's the biggest change you've made recently in your art career?
I'm trying to think what's the biggest change. There's been quite a bit of change in the last few months. I feel like my style is changing a bit. I'm feeling more drawn to earthier colours. I love mark making and different types of mark making, but I am feeling like I want to quieten things down a bit, so a little bit more simplicity, maybe slightly more abstract. So my style is definitely changing a little bit. But the bigger change has probably been more around how I work. And that has come about because I am doing more teaching. I am doing this podcast. And I'm not painting as much as I used to. That has been quite a big shift, and one that I grappled with a little bit early on. So we're talking about this resistance to change. So I had a bit of a struggle with going from painting just about every day to only painting, you know, a couple of times a week. Now I've made my peace with it. I've taken that pause, and I realize that I have other things that have become important to me, and I'm enjoying those things, and I'm giving them the value that they deserve, rather than focusing in on what I'm losing out on, which might be painting hours. I'm focusing in on what I've gained. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in for another podcast. You can find me at laurahornart.com, and I'm also on pretty much all the social media platforms under Laura Horn Art. And I hope that you'll join us again next week when we sit down for another creative chat.